Is this on? Oh, I'm gonna have to use my voice, huh? And, you know, strain myself.
Don't strain, just read this.
Well, I'm only trying to save it because I have 4 more readings. If I make it. I'm just grouchy, and I don't feel particularly like being friendly to you, but we'll see what happens. I care about my poems. That's one thing. Okay. It says 20-year marriage. Can you hear back there? You keep me waiting in a truck with its one good wheel stuck in a ditch while you piss against the south side of a tree. Hurry, I've got nothing on under my skirt tonight. That still excites you, but this pickup has no windows, and the seat, one fake leather thigh pressed close to mine, is cold. I'm the same size, shape, make as 20 years ago, but get inside me, start the engine. You'll have the strength, the will to move. I'll pull, you push, we'll tear each other in half. Come on, baby, lay me down on my back, pretend you don't owe me a thing, and maybe we'll roll out of here, leaving the past stacked up behind us. Old newspapers nobody's ever got to read again. Some of these are going to be fast because I wrote them to be read fast. And if you really are interested in hearing them again, you can look through the book sometime. I'm sick of them, personally. Abortion. Coming home, I find you still in bed, but when I pull back the blanket, I see your stomach as flat as an iron. You've done it as you warned me you would, and left the fetus wrapped in wax paper for me to look at, my son. Woman loving you no matter what you do, what can I say except that I've heard the poor have no children, just small people, and there is room only for one man in this house. I'm going to read The Tenant Farmer because I like the rhythm. I don't especially like the poem, but I'll read it anyway. The Tenant Farmer. Hailstones puncture the ground as I sit at the table rubbing a fork. My woman slides a knife across her lips and lays it beside a cup of water. Each day she bites another notch in her thumb, and I pretend relief is coming as the smooth black tire earth wheels around the sun without its patch of topsoil, and my mouth speaks wheat, barley, red cabbage, roll on home to Jesus, it's too late now, you're dead. When I was about 10, my second step-grandfather, we lived with him in the desert, and my grandmother, my mother's sister and I, my grandmother. And we had 2 mares and a bull and 2 goats. Mine was black and my sister's was white. And we had some pigeons and some chickens and some pigs and dogs and snakes and scorpions and things. And then he decided to have a little farm. And there, you know, it's dry, so he had to irrigate all the time on a small scale. There were mosquitoes all over everything. Well, anyway, he had squash and watermelon and corn. I think that was all that would grow there. And he bought us these goats, and they were sort of fun. I didn't really like mine because he didn't seem to care about me. But, you know, it was interesting to have him. And they started to get horns, and they start butting everybody when you went out the door. And then they got on top of his blue 56 Ford pickup, and then he said, I'm gonna kill them sons of bitches. And my great-grandfather was a Choctaw Indian from Oklahoma and then into Texas. So my people on my mother's side are from Oklahoma and Texas. And my ancestors then would be out of Mississippi because the Choctaws were moved there on the Trail of Tears. Anyway, being a good Texan, he came over to barbecue them. So the whole family came over, you know, and they slaughtered them, and they slit their throats. And my sister and I sat in the kitchen, and they screamed like people in a way. You know, it's real awful. We didn't eat them. We didn't eat them at all. Now, I mentioned this, the title of this poem is also the first line, and I mentioned a kidney. Well, it's not a ghost kidney. It's a pig's kidney. And we had a pet pig named Piggy. And they decided to kill Piggy, too, before, the week or so before. And my grandmother got his kidney right away and put it in some boiling water and sliced up lemon. And she told my sister and I to breathe in because that would cure our colds. I don't know whether it did or not, but we did what she said. So I think that's it. The story, oh, yes, they all got diarrhea from Piggy. They were sick for about a week. Okay, poem probably doesn't live up to this tale. This is called I Have Got to Stop Loving You. I have got to stop loving you, so I've killed my black goat. His kidney floats in a bowl, a beige flatfish around whom parasites, slices of lemon break through the surface of hot broth, then sink below as I bend face down in the steam breathing in. I hear this will cure anything. When I'm finished, I walk up to him. He hangs from a short wooden post, tongue stuck out of his mouth, tasting the hay-flavored air. A bib of flies gather at his throat and further down where he is open and bare of all his organs. I put my hand in, stroke him once, then taking it out, look at the sky. The storm clouds there break open and raindrops yellow as black cat's eyes come down, each a tiny river, hateful and alone. Wishing I could get out of this alive, I hug myself. It is hard to remember if he suffered much. This is called Young Farm Woman Alone. What could I do with a man? Pull him on like these oxhide boots, the color of plums dipped in blue ink, and stomp hell out of my loneliness, this hoe that with each use grows sharper. I'm gonna cut this because I have some new poems to read, so I may not read, you know, some in Cruelty that you like. It's okay for me because I'm tired of them, but I know. My discretion, I suppose. Decisions. I'm a Libra, and I just to decide what to leave out, because they're set up so that I read an hour's worth. 29 poems. This works out to an hour for me. When I was 14, I used to babysit for a nurse who worked at a rest home across the street, and the people who owned the rest home had a foster son who used to come and play with the little girls for whom I babysat, and he wore black pants and a black leather jacket, and he had his hair slicked back, and he rode a motorcycle, and I didn't trust him, because my mother warned me about men who wrestle with little girls. And he would just come see him. Well, 2 years later, they picked him up because he killed three girls. And all the scandal came out. One was from a lower middle class family. She was pregnant, I think. And then the other two were sisters of, and they were doctor's daughters. And I guess they were evil girls is what came out. They used to cruise the street called Speedway, which Life magazine named as the ugliest street in America. And they called him the Pied Piper of Tucson. His name is Charles Schmidt, and he's in the Florence prison now. He's a poet, by the way. He's been, you know, they teach, my former poetry instructor at the U of A teaches a class in poetry at the prison, and he's, Schmidt is like the backbone of the group, you know. He broke out year before last and went to my former teacher's house. He was then confronted with the fact that Schmidt was a criminal because he said, "Will you hide me?" They didn't. Anyway, I sort of wrote this poem, The Hitchhiker, as a tribute to Arizona and the heat. And also, I like the Rolling Stones, or I used to. And I had just gone about a month before to see performance, and I found that I wasn't offended by the violence, and I felt that I had transcended it, therefore I could deal with it. I thought I enjoyed myself. I realized I'd lived in an atmosphere of suppressed and open violence all my life, you know, in the Southwest, so in my family. So it helped me. Okay. The Hitchhiker. The Arizona wind dries out my nostrils and the heat of the sidewalk burns my shoes. As a woman drives up slowly, I get in grinning at a face I do not like, but I slide my arm across the top of the seat and rest it lightly against her shoulder. We turn off into the desert, then I reach inside my pocket and touch the switchblade. We stop, and as she moves closer to me, my hands ache, but somehow I get the blade into her chest. I think a song, everybody needs somebody, everybody needs somebody to love, as the black numerals 35 roll out of her right eye inside one small tear. Laughing, I snap my fingers, rape, murder, I got you in the sight of my gun. I move off toward the street, my feet pressed down in it, familiar with the hot, soft asphalt that caresses them. The sun slips down into its cradle behind the mountains, and it is hot, hotter than ever, and I like it. When I was in graduate school at UC Irvine, in May, actually, the May I graduated, or I think we graduated in June. So that May, I met a man at the Beach Motor Hotel that was owned by a hippie hotel magnate who had the Beach Motor Inn for dope dealers from Canada and other indigents and crazies. And then he had a regular hippie hotel up the Coast Highway in Laguna, and then he owned the San Clemente Hotel, which is the largest building in San Clemente, and it was full of hippies and Marines, and they were trying to close it, and the Marines used to put on long hair wigs on the weekends. Sorry. Anyway, they did, and they'd fight Mexicans. Yeah, they'd get drunk and fight Mexicans. I was there one night. Anyway, I met the manager of the place. There was a fire at my motel, and he just looked strange, you know. I don't know, he had his hair slicked back like I don't know if you remember what pachucos were, you know, and he had a long, thin black comb in his tight leg black pants and a white T-shirt. He's right out of the past. I just couldn't believe it. So I watch him, and he watched me for his own reasons. Anyway, we started to talk, and he was into, you know, occultism. I guess this is the place. And he told me his mother was a gypsy from the old state of Moravia. And I said, oh, well, I believed it. It was okay. It appealed to my nature, you know, at the time. And he told me that he went on, and I didn't believe him. He told me that he used to run guns between Cuba and South America. He worked for the CIA. And, which, you know, now who knows? It was 1972 or 71, yeah, right before Watergate. Anyway, he said he had been in Bolivia. He would develop ways of torture. He'd do anything to make money. And he was in Bolivia, and he had an Indian woman as his woman. She found out too much about what they were doing, and they killed her. So I thought about that. And after he left me, because I was too naive, I began to believe some of the things he said. And that was real. He ran away with $500 from the motel. The same night I decided to leave on my own because we were broken up. They said, "Have you seen Andre?" And I said, "No." I said, "Well, he split with $500. I said, "Oh, really?" And it was right after I said, "I'm going to go home. I just go back to Arizona, you know." And they looked at me suspiciously. Anyway, I'm going to read Cuba 1962, and I just want you to know some of the things that were going on in my mind. Also, I finished reading 100 Years of Solitude, a novel by Gabriel Garcia Marquez. Okay. Cuba, 1962. When the rooster jumps up on the windowsill and spreads his red gold wings, I wake thinking it is the sun and call Juanita, hearing her answer, but only in my mind. I know she is already outside, breaking the cane off at ground level, using only her big hands. I get the machete and walk among the cane until I see her lying face down in the dirt. Juanita dead in the morning like this. I raise a machete. What I take from the earth, I give back and cut off her feet. I lift the body and carry it to the wagon where I load the cane to sell in the village. Whoever tastes my woman in his candy, his cake, tastes something sweeter than this sugar cane. It is grief. If you eat too much of it, you want more. You can never get enough. Child beater. Outside, the rain, pinafore of gray water, dresses the town, and I stroke the leather belt as she sits in the rocking chair, holding a crushed paper cup to her lips. I yell at her, but she keeps rocking back, her eyes open, forward they close. Her body, somehow fat, though I feed her only once a day, reminds me of my own just after she was born. It's been 7 years, but I still can't forget how I felt, how heavy it feels to look at her. I lay the belt on a chair and get her dinner bowl. I hit the spoon against it, set it down, and watch her crawl to it, pausing after each forward thrust of her legs. And when she takes her first bite, I grab the belt and beat her across the back until her tears, beads of salt-filled glass falling, shatter on the floor. I move off. I let her eat while I get my dog's chain leash from the closet. I whirl it around my head. "Oh, daughter, so far you've only had a taste of icing. Are you ready now for some cake?" This is called Woman. I'm sorry you don't have time between these, but, you know, there's two of us. Woman. The adobe walls of the house clutch the noon heat in 10 fists, and while bathing, I fan my breasts, watching the nipples harden. I pinch them, feeling nothing but wanting to, and shift my weight from left buttock to right while the water circling my waist tightens as if you had commanded it. I stand up, spreading my legs apart, ready to release the next ribbon of blood. "All right, you want me now this way. I haven't locked the door. My swollen belly feels only its heaviness. You would weigh less than the pain chipping at my navel with an ice pick of muscle. I can carry you." The blood, halved and thinned, rolls down my legs, cupping each foot in a red stirrup, and I'm riding that invisible horse, the same one my mother rode. It's hungry. It has to be fed. The last man couldn't, can you? This is Everything, Eloy, Arizona, 1956. Tin shack where my baby sleeps on his back the way the hound taught him. Highway, black zebra with one white stripe. Nickel in my pocket for chewing gum. You think you're all I've got, but when the 2-ton rolls to a stop and the driver gets out, I sit down in the shade and wave each finger, saving my whole hand till the last. His keys, tires, a fire lit in his belly in the diner up the road. I'm red toenails, tight blue halter, black slip. He's mine tonight. I don't know him. He can only hurt me a piece at a time. Before you leave, I set the bowl of raw vegetables on the table. You know I'm ripe now. You can bite me. I won't bleed. Just take off my kimono. Eat, then go ahead, run. I won't miss you, but this 1 hour, lift me by my buttocks and press me hard against your belly. fill my tunnel with the howl you keep zipped in your pants, and when it's over, don't worry, I'll stand. I'm a mare, every nail's hood, pardon me, every nail's head in my hooves wears your face, but not even you, wolf, can bring me down. Yes. If you wouldn't applaud, wait till I finish. I would appreciate it, because then I won't have to wait. I can just go on. I want to read my newer poems, that's what it is. New crops for a free man. I dropped a torch of rags in a bucket of water, then watched the field burn. Behind me another fire, my woman under sheets, wrinkled and stiff from heat and sweat, throws them back and rises. She cracks her knuckles, leans from the window and yells, but I keep my head turned toward the thing I understand. She's hot from a match I never lit and strokes her breast, cone-shaped candles whose wicks are nipples aflame, burn holes in her hands in me. Go back to sleep, I don't need you now. I just want the dirt under my fingernails to become mountains, to listen to my heartbeat inside the rocks and scream as my own death slides into bed with her ass bloody and sweet when I lick it. One stalk of wheat no man can pull from the ground and live to eat. I don't want you to repress yourselves. However, I mean, I enjoy it. In India, you can, at readings, you can just say it again, and the poet, you know, goes over the line, any line you like or word, you can just yell it out.
What's the title of that one?
Pardon me? Oh, that wasn't new. That's just New Crops for a Free Man. That's the last one in the book. All right, here's some newer ones. They're not new, except one and one revision, but they're newer. This was called The Mortician's 12-Year-Old Son. Lady, when you were alive, I'd see you on the streets, the long green dress with the velvet flower sewn dead center between your breasts so tightly I could never get a look inside. Now the gas lamps half light the table, washing the sheet that covers you with shadows. A few strands of your dyed red hair hang nearly to the floor as if all your blood had run there to hide. I lift the sheet, rub the mole on your cheek, and it comes off black and oily on my hand. I bend over your breasts and sing, love, sister, is just a kiss away. I cover each nipple with my mouth, tonight, just a kiss away. I like to read the Bible a lot. I enjoy it. It's like a God soap opera, you know? And there, you know, and it's beautiful too. There are some parts that are not very popular, which are very beautiful, like Samson, you know, remember Victor Mature. Samson, Delight. Well, that can mess it up for you. It's really nice. I will assume that you all know a little bit about Jericho, or at least you remember that song that I hate so much about you know who. This is called Jericho. The question mark in my belly stretches, kicks me, and I push back the sheet, watching you undress. You put on the black mask and lie on your side. I open the small sack of peppermint sticks you always bring and take one out. I suck it as you rub my shoulders, breasts, then with one hand round the hollows beneath, carved by 7 months of pregnancy, stopping when your palm covers my navel. You groan as I slide the peppermint across my lips. So I'm just 15, but I've seen others like you, afraid, apologizing because they need something maybe nobody else does. You candy man handing out the money, the sweets, ashamed to climb your ladder of trouble. Don't be, make it to the top, you'll find a ram's horn there. Blow it 7 times, yell goddamn, and watch the miniature hells below you all fall down. I'll assume, too, that you know what a bracero is, was, or will be, and I won't go into it. 666 in Revelations is the mark of the beast, and some call it the mark of man or the number of a man, maybe the measure of a man. Okay, this is called Christ Bracero. I hired you to pick corn, but you can quit anytime. Inside the green husks are kernels of fire. I don't say they aren't good. I put sugar in my wine, but it can't match the kernels crackling on your tongue. It's up to you. Just take my advice. Stay out of the field at twilight. You set to work. I slip down in my wicker chair, counting six, six, six. Then I doze. When I wake, smoke is spurting from the tips of the unpicked corn. The sun, the moon, two round teeth rock together, and the light of one chews up the other. I hold my breath until I see you limping forward. You bow your head. Yellow kernels fill your eyes and slide down your cheeks. Your right foot rests on the ground while your left, a split hoof, paws it gently. I feel the heat growing in my armpits, my crotch. I lead you into the house where we lie on the floor. I rub your hands over my body. Lucifer, the apocalypse is over. I am the first, the last, and you are nothing. Hold me. Okay, the last two. I'm going to have to ask your patience because this one's long and I'm writing longer things, usually in parts so that they're like transistor poems, you know. I can go away for a while and then pick it up, you know, because each part is a kind of whole, whereas when I was younger, or just maybe last year, I was hysterical. I was hysterical if I took more than a night to get it written and revised. It had to be written and revised the same night, and then I could go back later and re-revise, which I would continue to do, you know, whenever I wanted to send it out or something, which is not very often. Okay, here we go. This is in three parts. It's called Bless Me, Father. Outside the lean-to, I put on my devil's costume, red shirt, red pants, and the cloth mask. I get the whip I keep under the pile of rocks and strike the air with it. You wake, turning over on your back, hiss and hit your chest three times. Teresa, you know enough to keep quiet. I strike the air again. It's five-year-old hands, genitals, feet. I see Luis at the altar. I want to confess. He raises his hands. No one else but you. He steps forward. His bare feet are almost black, as if he is wearing socks made of goat's hair, made of my black goat Isaiah's hair, and Teresa must have woven them. He walks toward the confessional. His feet are bare, but I hear each step, each one. I follow him, wanting to touch his square face, the eyes set wide apart, the flat nose, and press my cheek into the eruption of hair at his throat, into that ugliness which Teresa finds so beautiful. He pulls back the heavy velvet curtain of the confessional, enters, and I take my place on the other side. I hear him breathing, and I press my cheek against the grill. I take the rosary, missing its crucifix, hang it on the wooden cross at the foot of the grave, then open the missal. This is part two. His boots creak as he walks to the window. He comes back, sits, and puts his feet up on the desk. Villa hasn't a chance. I nod. I have always known it. He lights a cigarette and throws a match on the floor. I pick it up and put it in my pocket. They are not easy to come by these days. He winks. Some things are. How is Teresa pregnant? You know those things happen. You can't tell about women. I would have kept her, but that. Luis, you're the father. He turns his pockets inside out. I drop the missile. Teresa, you dance slowly, and I make the sound of a reed flute. You bend low, hands on your hips, and turn round. At the carnival, the boy is dressed like me, red pants, red shirt, cloth mask. The devil and his apprentice at your service to help you do penance. I with my whip and the boy with little fingers that can even pinch me. While at the cardboard stall, Teresa keeps flies off the pastry. Father Luis, what can I do for you? Two Indians hold him while I give him five lashes. I watch him stagger away. Jack was fat, now Jack is lean. I lift the boy on my shoulders and run after him. He keeps his candle clean. Three. The boy knows she will hit him. Fear's wood slides under his fingernails. The itch there turns to fire, turns his little brown face to me. I almost reach for him. She presses the stained side of the rock against her cheek. I lay the boy in the grave I dug with my hands. Luis, I want to confess. He smiles, moves his slender fingers to the next black bead, sighs and points to the bottle of brandy. He sets two glasses on the table and fills them. I saw no evil, turned my back at the right time, and it was over without a cry, without much blood, with only the sky full of firecrackers and stars letting fall a few handkerchiefs of light. Teresa turns round one last time. I pick up the missile and make the sign of the cross in the air. I didn't hate the boy. I loved him. I let him die. I realize that that's pretty long, and it's hard to keep up. I just need to experiment with, you know, whether I should just publish it somewhere and not read it. Maybe it's too much trouble. I don't like to listen to long poems. Okay. This has been redone. It's got a new title. We'll see what you think. This is the last one. It's called He Kept On Burning. You move beneath the blankets. I uncover you and hold a glass of brandy to your mouth. Your eyes open. Wake up. Drink with me. Eat some of the fine German cake my mother sent. Let us eat cake here, Buchenwald, 1945, Jew. A tailor's son, you said, all you sons of one tailor who taught us to sew your own winding sheets. You take the glass drink, then I put a small piece of cake in your mouth, some in mine. We chew, swallow. I taste something, do you? I taste a woman, a country, Schmuel Meyer, Jenny Taller, Alphonse Glitter, seven children, metal. I squeeze my eyes shut. We leave today. Am I shaking? I do shake, don't I? Put on the uniform. I stare through the window at the last group of prisoners, patchwork quilt embroidered with the letters SS. It is drizzling now 4 days, and each man cloth dipped in useless dye is running into the verge of mud at his feet. I turn my hands up. The palms are almost smooth. The Argentina sky, stabbed by a rusty knife, pours midnight through the window. Your bare feet slap the floor as you walk to the table and drink warm beer from a tin mug. I sniff the sausages you've laid on the platter beside the boiled eggs and hard bread. Are they as old as that time I told you, come with me? You love me, you said, yes, you and gilt tabernacle of gold teeth and the canter inside, singing over and over, thou shalt not. If I'd killed you, the others, the herds of them, I could watch die, everyone an enemy, a friend, but no one I knew, only you, Taylor's son. I take your wrist, so thin, Franz, your backs of eyes, each with a sickle over its round shoulder, cut me down, weed, flower, stem, terminal, waltz. How I hate Austrians. You lean close, stroke my chest, forget, yes, just bite me a little, don't let go. Thank you.